Welcome back to Parked Car Convos. I'm Maddie Mitchell and I'm your host today and always because, well, quite frankly, this is literally my podcast, so who else is going to host it? Happy freaking Monday. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. I hope you're feeling well-rested and rejuvenated and ready to kick this week's ass, and I don't think that that's asking too much from your favorite podcast host, in my own personal opinion. I am so excited for this week's episode. If you couldn't tell by the title, we're talking about pet peeves. I don't know if I've done one of these episodes before. I feel like I might have, like a long time ago. But this time I had you guys write in with your pet peeves. I had over 500 submissions for pet peeves because apparently you guys are very easily irritable, which is honestly relatable. So I'm loving that for us. I love that we have something else in common. I'm really excited to see what you guys have to say. And I'm sure I'll be kind of unlocking pet peeves along the way, which is probably not really great for me, but it's something that is inevitably going to happen. Okay. I am actually sitting down to record this episode on Thursday morning. Yes, you heard that right. I didn't wait until the Saturday or Sunday before this episode airs. I actually said, I'm going to get a jump and record this 4 days before it comes out. And that feels like a really big milestone for me. And I feel like I've broken the streak that I had because it's been like at least a month where every single week I was recording the podcast on the Saturday or Sunday before, which was so stupid. It was so stupid and I was so annoyed and it was just like, why did I do this to myself? Like, why do I keep doing this to myself? But it is pouring rain here today, and so it just felt like a perfect day to just kind of stay inside, and I was like, I might as well just record the podcast right now. And so here I am. And I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to be kind of shaking it up on a Thursday morning. Like, what am I doing here? This is nuts. This is so nuts. But all that aside, let's jump into peak and valley of the week. My peak of the week is also my valley of the week. Let me explain. I feel like this happens actually more often than not. But my peak of the week was that two of my favorite shows that I've been watching recently had their season finale this week. So you can understand how that is a beautiful thing, but also a very, very tragic thing at the same time, because I was so excited for both of these shows to like see what happens at the end of them. But now they're both over. And now what am I doing with my life? And I'm feeling very sad about it. So the first show, I've been plugging so much on my Instagram story because I need every single person to watch it. And I don't see anyone talking about it ever at all. No one's talking about it. And I don't know why people aren't talking about it. Well, I do. It's because no one's watching it. And you guys need to watch it. If you trust me in any capacity, you need to go watch this show, okay? It's a matter of trust. That's what it comes down to. The show is called Death and Other Details. It's on Hulu. It is so good. It is so, so, so good. So it is like it's a murder mystery, essentially. I have long said that that is a genre of television that we really sleep on, and we don't have enough shows that like really fit the bill for what I'm looking for, which is not like a really dark and twisted like crime show by any means, not like that, but like a show where someone dies and it's kind of like a whodunit and you're trying to figure it out. And it's like, I just love the mystery element of it, and like trying to like each episode you're like, okay, wait, maybe it's this person. I love that. I love it so much. It's kind of, it feels like a Knives Out movie. I don't know if you guys have seen the Knives Out movies. They're so good. There's two of them. They're amazing. And it feels like that, like very much murder mystery, very much kind of like big characters, and you're trying to learn more about them to find out who. It's just, it's so good. Also, I think the similarity between the Knives Out movies and the show is like, it's beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful show. The costume design, like everything about it is like just so pretty to look at, like visually, which I love. I'm not going to give any spoilers, obviously, because I want all of you guys to go watch it. And it's only 10 episodes. The whole season is out now, so you can just binge the entire thing, which I love. I was watching it each week with my parents as it came out. So like, I've been kind of in it for the long haul. And it's just amazing. The basic premise is that all of these rich people are on a boat, okay? And someone dies one of the first nights that they're on the boat. And so then the whole boat goes into like lockdown. And interestingly enough, there was already like a world famous detective on board with all of the rich people. But then they like also, this like other investigator gets flown in and they're all just conducting their own investigations. And it's so good. It's so interesting. There's so many twists and turns that you don't expect, which I love. I hate mysteries when it's like, okay, this is so obvious. Like, this is like, you really underestimated our intelligence here, and that's kind of feeling like a slap in the face. It was so good. I can't recommend it enough. I really hope that there's a season two. They like perfectly teed it up for there to be a season two at the end of it. So I'm really, really hoping that there will be, but you have to watch it. It was amazing. And the other show that I've been watching, obviously, is Love is Blind. I will say one thing about Love is Blind. And even if you haven't watched the show, I will paint a very vivid picture for you, because I just think that this is like legendary TV at the end of the day. So was I surprised by the finale at all? No, not even a little bit. It was like kind of exactly what I thought was going to happen. But there's this one couple, and this man in the couple, Clay, he had said for the entirety of the show, basically, he had blamed every single shortcoming that he has on his dad, like aggressively, like every single, like to the point where he was like, well, my dad cheated on my mom, so I'm probably going to end up cheating on my future wife, like crazy shit, as if free will doesn't exist, as if cheating is genetic, like just kind of nuts, like a crazy thing to say. So then in the finale, when they're having their weddings, the dad shows up, and it's just like insane to me that he walked into the situation having no prior knowledge of the fact that his son had been bashing him like the entirety of the show. And then he walks in to like where Clay is getting ready before the wedding, and he immediately just starts going on a tangent about how he was so good at track in high school and he went all American and then he was on the Olympic team. Like, he really walked in there and said, how do I make this about me? And he did. And I don't know this man, obviously, that goes without saying. I know for a fact that was incredibly on brand for him. It was incredibly on brand for him to bring up his track career within like a minute of seeing his son on his wedding day. I just know that that was on brand from the bottom of my heart. Like, it was kind of a gut feeling. And the whole time he's talking about that, Clay is like, yeah, no, I know. No, yeah, you've told me. Like, even Clay was like, can you stop? Like, dad, stop. It's not about you. And then obviously Clay says no at the altar to AD, which was just like so expected, unfortunately. And then Clay's dad and Clay's mom, who are divorced, are talking. And Clay's dad was trying to like flirt with her and like have a moment, which was like such an interesting choice to make at a wedding where your son just like said no at the altar. Like, again, way to make it about you. He's talking to Clay's mom and he's like, well, you know what, we just need him to find a woman like you, which, pause, as if that's the issue, as if the issue is him finding the right woman. Like, no, his issue is that he thinks infidelity is genetic and that he knows in his heart of hearts that he's like going to, like, no, his issue is him, is the work that he has to do in his self, not the woman that he chose at all. So then the mom, she goes, oh, really? Because you found a woman like me and look how you treated me. And then she just kind of like walked away and he looked really, really, he looked like he'd been slapped across the face in that moment, and like, as he should, like, good for her. But it was just like a crazy episode. And like, that was like the most eventful part of the whole episode was them. Like, I didn't even care about Clay and AD's wedding. I was like, it was just like prime television at its finest. It was like good reality TV, but really sad. Also really sad. Okay. For Pass the Ox song of the week, I've been in a really big making playlist mood. I've been making more playlists, and I'm making my summer playlist right now, aspirationally, naturally. And I went to my summer playlist from last summer, and I kind of rediscovered a song that I had forgotten about in these cold, barren months, which is Brazil by Declan McKenna. Just like the kind of ultimate summer vibe when you think about it. And so that really put me in a fabulous mood, honestly. Such a good song. For Traffic Report, I was like supposed to talk about Love is Blind and Death and Other Details, but I've already accidentally kind of done that. Oh, something else, another quick little life update, is I'm back on my smoothie era, and I just am so obsessed. If you might recall, over the summer, I would talk about the smoothie probably too much, but it's just so good. It never gets old to me, which is kind of crazy because I feel like I get sick of foods really easily, but this is honestly, it just never misses. It's a blueberry and banana smoothie. So I use a whole banana, one whole banana, okay, not frozen. No frozen bananas here. Then I use a ton of frozen blueberries, like just so many. And then I use coconut milk and a scoop of vanilla almond butter. So good. So good. It tastes amazing. And recently I've been also, I have these straws that I'm obsessed with. They're, don't worry, they're biodegradable straws. They're called veggie straws. They're on Amazon. And I just found out that they make like smoothie straws. So they're like a lot wider and it's making drinking my smoothies so much more fun. So that's been kind of like a nice little added bonus, but I love them. And you can find them on Amazon if you also want to have a smoothie straw. Because who doesn't want to have a smoothie straw? It just like makes you feel like you went to a cute little juice place and you got yourself a smoothie, but really you just made it in your own home, in the comfort of your own home. Okay, I guess it's time to dive into some of these pet peeves. I think this is the shortest ever intro I've ever had. Again, kudos to me. Mild applause. Thank you so much. Okay, the first one is feeling like something of an attack. Saying literally when it's not literal. Literally has transcended its original meaning, and I do believe that to be true. It's now just a thing that I say. It's like a filler word almost. It's literally to me is an or a like. It's one of those. That's where it's at with me. I will never not be like, literally. No, literally. No, literally. Totally. Literally. Totally and literally. Like, it's just going to happen. And I really do view myself as a person who has a pretty extensive vocabulary. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how expanded your vocabulary is. There's no word to replace literally. There just isn't. Okay. And so this is a safe space for the literally lovers of the world. You're safe here. Don't worry. You're in good company. Okay, so that person, I'm sorry to say, has bad taste, clearly. This one is, I've actually talked about it in one of my videos that I've made in the past. I have no idea which one or when, but I did. People that wear eye patches, like under eye patches, like a mile below their eye, I don't understand this at all. For me, it's the opposite. For me, I put it like almost touching my eyeball, like it's probably not good. I'm kidding, but you obviously want it to be in the actual under eye area. And some people just have it kind of like resting on their cheek. And it's like, what's the point of that? You're not getting any benefit from that. I don't even know if eye patches are real. Like, are they doing anything? We don't know, but it's definitely not going to be doing anything for your under eye area when it's sitting on your cheekbone. Like, I don't get it. It's my biggest pet peeve. And I feel like I see it a lot when people are doing like get ready with me's and they have them on and they're doing their makeup. And I'm like, girl, and like, do whatever you want to do, but that's just it's not effective at the end of the day. And that's kind of what it comes down to. Mixing up then and than. Yeah. I would say I am the worst person when it comes to, I don't want to say critiquing people's grammar, because I don't critique it mentally. I do. I always clock it. It's always clocked. A big one for me recently is people have been saying this all the time recently, and I don't get it personally. Instead of saying, for instance, oh, on Wednesday when I went to pick up my dog, they would say on Wednesday whenever I went to pick up my dog. What? That's incorrect. The word is when. What's whenever? Why are you putting whenever there? Whenever I went to pick up my dog. What does that mean? No, it's when you went to pick up your dog. And people are acting as if those two things are interchangeable, and they aren't. That's been one that's really been grinding my gears as of late. So just in case you were curious. Wait, this one is making me LOL because it says having to make a left-hand turn. Honestly, only God's bravest soldiers have it in them to cross traffic like that, and the car's waiting behind you. I can't. How else do you do it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I get it that it could be scary, but like, it's an inevitable kind of part of life in that sense. How do you avoid? You can't. You just have to push through in that sense. And that's an interesting, I don't know if pet peeve is the right phrase necessarily. It sounds like it's maybe more of a fear, left-hand turns, and that's valid. But you just do it. You just make the right decision, and you trust yourself, and you just go for it. When people say espresso instead of espresso, yeah, that's like, what are you, six? Like, I just can't deal with, because it's like, there's just no X. Like, where are you getting that from? You're just like inventing words. You're just coming up with your own sounds that no one invited you to do. Like, it's just, it's so uncalled for and no one asked. Okay, I'm so glad someone wrote this in, because I've gone on so many tangents about this in my personal life. I don't know if I've ever, I think I probably have made a video about it. If I've ever had the thought, I've probably made a video about it, if we're speaking our truths. This one says, a pet peeve for men specifically, when they spit on the ground while walking. Yes. I need to know what this phenomenon is. I need Freud to come back from the dead to look into this a little bit deeper, because what is this? And I am not kidding. Sometimes when I go for walks on like along a walking path, you know, I will see so many globs of spit on the ground in a way that is so excessive and like does not sit right within my soul. Like, I just hate everything about it. I hate, like, you're just walking down the street with your dog and you're like, oh, I gotta spit right now. What? Where is that coming from? Like, why? Never in my life has like the taste in my mouth been so bad that I have to expel my own saliva to like immediately alleviate whatever disgust is happening, is kind of like transpiring in my mouth. Like, it's so unnecessary. And it's not even like they just do it once. They'll just like keep spitting as they're like, what? I will literally never understand this. It's so bizarre to me. And it's so nasty. Like, I hate walking and being like, ew, I have to step over your giant glob of spit. That is like, it's like, where do they get off thinking that you can just spit everywhere? And I mean that. When you like really think about it, it's just such a weird thing that's been normalized. Like, it's so, that's so weird. It's so weird how common it is. I really kind of despise it. I remember when my brother was in high school, he was on the lacrosse team, and I went to one of his games and I was with my parents. And for these games, we would all kind of like stand along this fence. And so it was like me and my parents, and then the guy next to me was a dad of like someone on the other team who, by the way, he was giving the worst peaked in high school energy. Like, he was being just a terror to society as a whole. Like, he was the worst person in so many regards. But on the other side of this fence, like right in front of us, was the track. Okay. So it was like the track, and then the lacrosse field was in the middle. And this man would spit on the track in front of us every, without a shadow of a lie, 2 minutes throughout the entirety of this like hour long lacrosse game. It was so disgusting. And that feels even grosser, because it's like, I'm standing right next to you. Like, we're all crammed next to each other along this fence. You are way too close to another human being that you do not know to be spitting like that so recklessly and so frequently, especially on a track. I guess it's one thing to spit on pavement or to like spit on the grass. To spit on a track, like, that's disgusting. Kids are running on that. They might have track practice later and they're just gonna have to like see your saliva. Like, ew. My God, it's so gross. Ick, I hate it. I really, really hate it. This person said, people who have no spatial awareness. I cannot stand slow walkers, as in people who are just strolling around, not caring about people behind them or those around them. And when they're too busy looking at their phone, and then people try to walk ahead, but they can't pick a side. I hate this. I hate this so much. I definitely have experienced this, like when I'm out walking somewhere, but also in grocery stores, I feel like it's so bad. There's always people in grocery stores who must think that they're literally the only person in the store shopping. And it's just like, that's never the case. And they're like leaving their car like so far away from them while they go and like grab this stuff. And they're just like not paying attention to the fact that there's other people there and that like they're in the way and their cart's in the way. And it's just like such a grab and go kind of environment. And they're just kind of like lingering for no reason. It's just, it's excessive. But also when you're walking, it is really annoying because it's like, okay, can't you, like, if you want to dawdle, that's fine. But dawdle with self-awareness. We need to normalize self-aware dawdling because that's fine if you just want to, like, be on your phone and kind of, like, go at your own pace and whatever. More power to you. But don't have it inhibit someone else's walk or someone else's journey to their destination. That's just not, that's where you lose me. Also, recently, I experienced this the other day when I was walking somewhere because there was this like kid on a bicycle, little kid on a bicycle. And I'm, listen, kids are fabulous, totally. But this little kid was on his bicycle and his mom was like behind him and I passed the mom. It's also always awkward when you're on like a trail or a path and you have to pass someone who is also walking in your same direction, but like they're going so much slower than you. So it's like, you're going to inevitably have to pass them if you want to keep going, unless you want to start walking super slow for no reason. I hate that in general. That's so uncomfortable. But anyways, I had passed the mom and we were walking in the same direction. Her son was like a ways ahead of her on his bike, like tricycle. Like he was a young child and he like turns around and starts tricycling toward me. And like, maybe I'm the worst person. I don't know. He starts tricycling toward me and like straight towards me, like straight in my path. And this is a wide path. Like he very easily could kind of go around me. And I know what you're thinking. Like he's a literal child. I totally hear you. But the mom, I like looked at the mom because she was like catching up. So like me and the mom were kind of like neck and neck at this point. And she just like looked at me as if it was like so endearing of this boy. And I'm like, with peace and love, like, I don't know this child. Like, I don't think it's, like, it's not cute to me that he's, like, tricycling, like, at my feet, essentially. Like, that's not charming to me because I'm, like, I don't know you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I hate when people think, and people do this with their dogs, too. And I love dogs. But, like, if your dog is, like, chasing me or like, following me or, like, charging at me and you're just kind of looking at me like, Oh, there he goes again. Like, no, I don't know you like that. Like, you're acting as if I would have some reason to be like, oh, I love this. I don't know. That's not realistic in any capacity ever. And like in that instance, it was like, couldn't you be like, little Johnny, why don't you trike over this way? But she just didn't because she thought that like I was eating it up as much as she was. And unfortunately, I just was not in a place to be eating it up as much as she was. So there is that to consider kind of going forward. But it goes back to like no self-awareness, like no awareness to the fact that like other people are trying to kind of go about their days and not be kind of halted by a young boy on a tricycle or like a dog kind of charging at you. It's like, that's not everyone's vibe. And it's kind of a weird assumption to make. People who park in front of stores or offices, like, are you just too good to park in a spot? This is also very irritating to me. Especially recently, every time I go to the grocery store, there's someone parked in the fire lane and they just park their car there and go inside. And it is jarring how frequently it happens. Like, I'm not kidding. Every single time I'm there, there's someone parked in the fire lane. Like, you can't, that is the textbook definition of kind of illegal. Like, you cannot park there. Also, the grocery store that I go to is genuinely never even a little bit busy. Not even a little bit. Okay. Cause there's like so many other grocery stores that are like way better than this one in my area, but this one's closest to me. So I end up going to it a lot. And there's like never that many cars in the parking lot. So it's not even like it's an insanely busy parking lot and you just got sick of looking for a spot. Even if that were the case, like, you can't just like park in a fire lane. Like, that's not something you can do. But it's so stupid to me because I'm like, there was literally a front row spot right there. Like, who do you think you are? And that's what it is at the crux, is like, genuinely, who do you think you are? I don't even want to know who you think you are, because I don't think I'm going to be too pleased with the answer if we're being honest with ourselves. Okay, if someone even steps an inch into the kitchen when I'm cooking, this is so real. And this is kind of another thing I might need Freud to come back from the dead to kind of explain to us, because when that happens, I get like a genuine visceral reaction that just kind of takes over my whole body, where I'm like, if I am not left to my solace in this kitchen in 5 seconds, I'm going to lose my mind, which is so strange. I think it's because when you're cooking, it's kind of like stakes are high, in the sense that you need to be making sure that everything is like going well and not burning, and that you're doing everything. And also, a lot of times when you're cooking, you're kind of rushing because you're like, okay, I need this to be done at the same time that this is done. So I have to go do this now and I have to make this. And it's just like, you're already doing a few different things at once. And then enter another person and it's like, no, you don't understand how much I'm going to lose my mind right now, because your presence is like just enough to kind of send me over the edge. I think that has something to do with it. And also, I think when you're cooking, you're just like overstimulated too, because of how many things that you're doing. And so again, I think just like the presence of a person is kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I just saw the word restaurant written down in one of the submissions, and I thought of one that is so heinous. When you are, it's summer, you're wearing maybe a skirt or a dress or shorts, and you go to a restaurant and you go to sit down on the booth, and there is like grains of salt or something on the booth that you can feel on like the back of your leg because you're wearing shorts. That is so disgusting, and it makes me like wince just thinking about it. Also, having to get up from a booth or from a seat at a restaurant in the summer when you're wearing shorts, like, that in and of itself is such a brave feat. But having to like feel like food on your leg, like, ugh, it's gross. It's just gross. It's not the vibe, and it never will be. When my boss tries to make me do her work for her and says it's a good learning experience, it's like one of those things where it's like, do you think we're buying that? Like, do you think that's really how it's being perceived? Do you think you're that sneaky of a snake that we're like, oh, you're so right. This actually is going to be a really good learning experience. Thank you so much for this opportunity, for this learning experience. I really, really, I really appreciate it. That is so, so kind. Wait, this one is so real. It's kind of circling back to the grammar pet peeves. But when people write their graduation year wrong, like if they put it in their Instagram bio or something, they put the apostrophe after instead of before, which makes no sense. So if they graduated in like 2019, they put 19 apostrophe instead of apostrophe 19. Yeah, that one does piss me off too. That really pisses me off, because it's just like, that doesn't even, that you put the apostrophe where there's something missing. Like, you don't put, no, you don't put it after. That means like 19 feet. You graduated in 19 feet. What does that mean? What does that mean? You're 19 feet tall. Don't make promises you can't deliver on here. That's just, that's crazy. This one is so real. When you're hanging out with people and you're all just kind of on your phones, and then someone starts to play a video on their phone out loud, because it's like, who made you king of everything? Why are you the chosen one that gets to play a video at full volume? No, you watch that video in silence like the rest of us are doing, because we have something called respect, because we're polite. Ever heard of it? There really is something like so infuriating about, I think it's like certain people that just like play things out loud in a setting where it's like, you're not just by yourself watching a video. Like, it's like, no, we did not all consent to hearing this video. Like, I don't care. And then they start like laughing on it, and you're like, okay, I promise you, I don't even want to know. Like, I don't even want to know. Just keep everything to yourself. Normalize keeping everything to yourself. I think that's really something that we have to do. When people say Valentine's instead of Valentine's, yeah, that's, again, that's like similar to espresso because it's just like RU6. That's the only reasonable explanation in my own personal opinion. Being rude to customer service / retail workers. Yeah, duh. That's not even a pet peeve. That just like goes to show who you are as a person, which is horrible. And then what? No, and then what? Just kind of perpetually not the vibe. Wait, this one is so real. Okay. When grown adults say that they don't like vegetables, I have literally no tolerance for this. I have no tolerance for this. And they think that it's like cute and quirky. They think that it's like making them unique. And I'm like, no, that's just making you like deficient in several vitamins. What do you mean? What do you mean? That's kind of like, remember the write-in from a few weeks ago where the girl was like hiding vegetables in her boyfriend's meals because he wouldn't eat vegetables? Like, immediately no, first of all. And then after he had been eating the hidden vegetables for a while, he was like, wait, I feel really good. I think my health is improving. It's like, yeah, you weirdo, because you hadn't been eating vet. What do you mean? I just like don't get it. And I don't mean that they like don't like tomatoes or something, or like they don't like asparagus. Sure, everyone gets like a free pass for like one thing. But people who don't eat vegetables and they just eat like chicken fingers, and it's like, you are a grown person. I always am just like, how did you get this far in your life without eating vegetables? It's so weird to me. This person said that they get really annoyed when people start hiccuping. I feel like I'm always the one who is hiccuping. Why does that sound weird? Hiccuping. I get the hiccups. Is hiccuping a verb? Surely it is, but it's not sounding correct in my head. But whenever I get the hiccups, I feel like I get so self-conscious. I'm like, I like, stop hiccuping. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, pull it together, grow up. And the reason for that is because I have like hiccup related trauma. I'm like, not kidding. Okay. When I, at my first job, I've probably told this story before, at my first like job in high school, it was at a tutoring center, more specifically a Kumon. And I don't know if you guys know much about Kumon, but this particular one that I worked at, you had to be dead silent. Like, it had to be fully silent in the space so that these children could come in and do work. And then they would bring it up to the desks that we were standing at. Couldn't sit, obviously, which makes no sense. Like, who needs to stand at a desk? That's such overkill. But we would stand at these desks and they would have to come up and bring their papers to us and pass them into these little bins, and then we would correct their papers and bring it back to them. And it's just dead silent. Like, I can't stress that enough. And I get the hiccups one day. And listen, I understand that when you get the hiccups, you can go one of two ways. You could make a scene of it and be very dramatic and loud about it. Obviously, I would never choose that route. You guys know me. Never in my life. There are people that definitely dramatize getting the hiccups, and those people, jail time, fully jail time. And I understand why you would be annoyed. But I am hiccuping in this space as discreetly as possible. And this woman next to me, who is a retired school teacher, so like someone's grandma, like supposed to be so kind, she goes, "Do you have the hiccups?" I'm like, "Yes." Like, "No, I'm just doing this for fun. What do you think, Marianne? What do you think? Do you think I'm just sitting here pretending to have the hiccups for attention? Certainly not. Certainly not here and now at Kumon. That's not what's going on." And so I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Huh, that's so weird. Only little kids get the hiccups." I'm like, "Well, that's clearly not true, because here I am, 16 years old, having the hiccups." And that's just like factually incorrect. To take it a step further, Marianne, that's just not true. That's just something you said. That doesn't mean anything. It's just a thought you had that you verbalized that has no real factual backing of any sort. It's just not real. But it made me super insecure. And then another time, like that same year, which was so strange to me, I had the hiccups in Target. And again, like, you guys know, like, I have social anxiety. If you think I'm walking around Target with some loud ass hiccups, you're so wrong. You are dead wrong. And I was in this aisle. I vividly remember I was looking for a mascara and there was another woman on like the other end of the aisle. So we were like a ways apart, but I had the hiccups and she turns to me after I hiccuped once and she goes, "Can you stop?" What? First of all, no, that's kind of the whole thing with hiccups. You can't stop. If I could stop, don't you think, I don't know, I would have? Oh, I should stop hiccuping. Oh my God, you're so right. Let me press the stop button now. What? That was feeling really, really malicious in that moment. And I was not vibing with it. And then I just like ran out of the aisle. I was so scarred, honestly, in that moment. But yeah, that was a weird time in my life. I do still get the hiccups. I think, are hiccups genetic? Wait, I know what you're thinking. That's not what I meant. I mean, like, my dad is really prone to getting the hiccups. So I feel like that could be why I get the hiccups frequently. Because I feel like there's other people that I'm like, I don't think you ever get the hiccups. I don't know. There could be something there. I know some people are like, nope, there isn't. But okay, that's fine too. And that's totally fine. This person said, irregardless and conversate are not words. Okay. Right off the bat, they are both words. Irregardless, like no one has a need to ever use that. You just have to say regardless. And that is really annoying when people say irregardless, because it's like, there's just no need for that. If you look up the definition of irregardless, it's literally just regardless. So it's like, you should have just said that. Conversate, I feel you. It is a word. It means to engage in conversation. But I understand, because the word I think people are looking for oftentimes is converse. And I feel like you hear this all the time, especially on like reality dating shows, where they're like, we just conversate so well together. And it does irk me, again, for no reason, because it is technically a word. But I'm like, the word you're looking for is converse. You converse really well. You converse. You don't conversate. That just like, it's such a clunky word. I don't know. I don't like it personally. I would never go out of my way to use it. Literally ever. This one is so real. When grown adults call their parents mommy or daddy, like Jesus Christ, grow up. Or even mama. This isn't a country song. So real. That is so real. Like, it's such a jump scare when someone's phone rings and it's like, daddy. It's like, what? You mean your father? You're almost 30 years old. What do you mean? That's just your dad. It just seems like really unnecessary and really kind of over the top, but for no reason, which is also unnecessary. Also, I just remembered something that I was supposed to say at the beginning of this episode, but I forgot to say. Remember back in December, I was like, oh, I really want to get to a certain number of ratings for the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by the end of the year. And we reached both of them with flying colors. I would like to try and do that again, a cute little March challenge. So on Apple Podcasts, currently we have 762 ratings. I would love to get to 1,000 reviews by the end of March. I think that would be beyond fabulous. It would mean the world to me. And I know it's doable, because once again, I see how many of you are listening, and I think you guys think that I don't, but I can see it. And then on Spotify, we have 1,600. I would love to get to 2,000 by the end of the month. I think we can do it. So just a reminder, if you haven't left a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, please do that to be a part of, just to kind of like be a part of the team, just to kind of take one for the team. And let's see if we can reach those goals by the end of the month. Also, a quick little mid-episode reminder that you can become the passenger of the week by submitting a picture of your radio screen in your car listening to this week's episode of the podcast, or you could submit a Parked Car Convos themed meme. Bonus points if it specifically relates to the current episode that just came out. But that's a fun little way that we can all participate and have little inside jokes together, which I love. Okay. Intermission is over. Thank you. This person said, when people's natural scent is syrup. Yeah. Totally. I know exactly what you mean. And if you are a grown adult and you are emanating kind of a maple syrup vibe, you are actually at your core a second grader. And there's nothing that I or anyone else could say to make that untrue. Do you know what I mean? Syrup is a very, it's so weird how, because it doesn't smell. Syrup, the product that you put on pancakes, if you put maple syrup on your pancakes, you're not like smelling that maple syrup. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really not very fragrant. But for some reason, some people do smell very strongly of maple syrup, which is actually kind of a great question for the scientists of the world. Because what is the, how does that happen? If maple syrup itself doesn't have a strong smell, then how does it translate so commonly to other people and make them literally reek of maple syrup? I don't know. I don't get it. I also feel like some people won't know. They won't get this. They won't be able to relate to people smelling like maple syrup. And good for you, honestly. You've been able to get this far without encountering it. Awesome. That's really good for you. Someone said the sound of nail clippers, and that is so real. All too real. Like, that is such a vile, vile sound. Also, did I ever tell you guys about the time that I was out for lunch with my family, and we were sitting in this like patio area, and it was summer, it was beautiful out, it was a great day, we were having so much fun. We had actually just come back from the sunflower fields, so I was kind of riding a high, you could say. And we're sitting at this table at this patio, and there's a man at a table adjacent to us, and he was by himself. And I think he was like a regular, like he clearly had some sort of rapport with the wait staff. They knew him. And we were just sitting there eating our meal, minding our business. And I look over at him, and this man has nail clippers that he pulled out of his pocket, which seems also kind of dangerous. And he starts clipping his nails at the table. That is so beyond. It's just so beyond. That's vile. That's heinous. You're way too comfortable in this setting. Clearly, this is not your home. I think that's another pet peeve, is when people act like public settings are their home, just generally speaking. No, you're not paying rent. Like, this isn't yours. This is a public space. Act like it. It kind of goes back to like the playing videos out loud. It's like, this is a communal setting. Did you not get that? Like, you are not on your couch in the comfort of your own home. Act like it. I just can't stress that enough. So it's so weird. Also, I just like that lack of self-awareness is untouchable. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just so far gone at that point. They've never had an ounce of self-awareness, and it shows. Okay, I'm dying at this. This person wrote, my ex used to do air quotes with all five fingers. How do you do that? What does that mean? That is hilarious. But also, that would have been like strike one and two. The first time I had seen that would have been strike one and two. Loud phone conversations in public. Again, perfect. Circling back to, this is a public setting. This is not your home. That is so real. It's always in TJ Maxx. It's always in a Marshalls. It's always in a Home Goods, where people are just like walking around, and especially when it's on speakerphone, I have zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. And they're like yelling into their phone, and they're just like completely unaware of the fact that like there's people around them just like wanting to be at peace in that TJ Maxx. They're seeking peace in a TJ Maxx, and you are disrupting the peace. And you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy. This one is interesting. When people are playing music that just isn't the vibe, I think that's so real. My brother does this a lot. Whenever I'm driving with him and we're like going to get bagels, and it's like a gorgeous Saturday morning, and he plays like the most depressing music, and I'm like, no, I did not co-sign this vibe-wise. Absolutely not. Put on something happy. Put on something upbeat. That's the vibe. And it's like failure to identify the vibe and then kind of like live up to it. Criminal. This one is niche. I'm curious to see if other people agree. Polos, the fabric, the buttons. Ew. He could be the hottest man in the universe, but if he's wearing a polo, absolutely not. I'm finding myself indifferent to polos. Anyone else? It's just like common work attire, I feel, for men that work in like an office setting. So that's feeling like kind of normal. That's feeling totally neutral to me. A pet peeve of mine that I just remembered in this moment, I think all of the other pet peeves have like triggered this memory to come back. But when someone, okay, you meet a person in like a group setting, you're with your friends maybe, and they introduce you to someone, but they introduce you to this person as their nickname. Okay. So say their name is like, I don't know. Okay. Like John Smith. And you get introduced to John Smith by one of your mutual friends. And they're like, okay, and this is Smitty. And it's like, fabulous. What the fuck am I going to call him? I don't know him like that. I'm not going to be like, hey, Smitty. Like, I don't know you like that. We don't know each other like that. That's feeling really personal. That's feeling really intimate. I'm clearly not on that level with you. So tell me your first and last name so I can call you by your legal name, so as to not make this weirder. I hate that. I hate that so much. Because inevitably there will come a time when like you have to reference that person or speak to that person, like address them. And you're like, I don't know how to address you, because from the bottom of my heart, like I just do not know you like that. And I don't want you to think that I'm acting like I do know you like that. I also feel like that's a really good depiction of like social anxiety. Like most people would be like, just call him Smitty. Like, no. That's feeling really intimate. Absolutely not. I would never dare. This person said, when people ask you why you got a tattoo or what it means, I feel like it depends on who's asking. Also, why is a stupid question. Why did you get that tattoo? It's like, because I wanted it. What it means, I feel like, is that can come from a very good place. Why is feeling very judgmental, but like, oh, what does that mean? That's just like genuine curiosity. I don't care when people ask me what my tattoo means. I might not tell them the real answer, but I don't mind when they ask. Saying generally instead of genuinely, that really is like a crazy one to mess up, because that just makes it have a totally different meaning. Like that is just a completely different word. It's a completely different, it changes the meaning of the sentence entirely. How do you not know the difference between the two? There's such like basic words, I feel like, too, like generally speaking, like you know what generally means, you know what genuinely means, you know what they mean. It's weird. That's a weird one. Another one that I'm thinking of right now that pisses me off so much is when I'm emailing with someone and I sign the email with my name. Also, I don't know if you guys even know how to spell my name, but I spell Maddie, M-A-D-D-Y, and they reply and they spell it M-A-D-D-I-E. And it's like, I don't care if that's the first email. It's like, I wouldn't expect you necessarily to know how to spell my name. Like, that's totally fine because my email address has Mads in it, not Maddie. So like, that's fine. But when I sign off the email with my name, obviously spelled correctly the way that it's spelled, and you reply spelling it in a different way, I'm like, okay, that's rude. That's feeling rude because it's right there for reference. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. This person said people who pronounce caramel as caramel. I hate to break it to you. There is a second A. The second A is there. And I'm led to believe it's there for a reason. It's not spelled caramel. It's spelled caramel. This person said that their pet peeve is weather obsessed adults. Like people who check the weather 15 times a day and announce it to everyone around them how the weather is doing. That is me. That is fully me. I don't necessarily announce it to those around me. Sometimes, depending if there's something juicy, like, oh my God, it's actually going to be really nice for the next few days. Or like, oh my God, did you know it's going to rain for the next 4 days? Like that's interesting. That's worth sharing. I check the weather probably more than 15 times a day. I love it. The weather app is my comfort app. I don't know how to describe it. I'm just always there. I love the updates that they've made to the weather app. It makes it so much more comprehensive. You can check hour by hour, which I love. That's really helpful for me. I don't know. I'm just kind of obsessed with it. Long live the weather app. The friend who always asks, can you drive? Yeah, no, that's heinous. There has to be a balance. There has to be a balance, or there has to be like a reason. Like if I'm saying, oh, I'm going to be out running errands. And then you're like, oh, so do you mind just picking me up? Sure. That's a totally valid conclusion to kind of jump to. But to have that one friend that makes you drive all the time. It's like, this should be a split responsibility here. There's just like no need. And it's just like, there's like a weird threshold. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like the first few times you're like, yeah, I don't mind, like whatever. And then it just like gets to a point where it's like, oh my God, I have not seen the inside of your car in eons because I am always driving. And it's like, once that threshold is passed, it is the most annoying thing in the world. Where it's like, you just don't even want to hang out with them anymore because it's like, you just know that they're going to be like, can you drive? It's like, oh my God, would it kill you? Would it kill you to drive? This one is super valid. I think we'll end on this one. When people reply to a text with just a reaction, like a thumbs up, thumbs down, or heart, when it's like, it totally warrants an actual response. I understand that like sometimes that's like a perfect way to end a conversation is to just like heart it, thumbs it up, thumbs it down. Totally. Actually, thumbs down would be kind of a bad way to end a conversation. But like, if you're just having like a very quick, brief conversation and you're like, okay, I'll be there at 11. Sure. Send me a thumbs up. That totally tracks. But sometimes it's like you see the reaction and then you're waiting for the actual text to follow because you know that it warrants way more than just the heart. And then nothing comes and you're like, oh, literally, oh. Oh. That's feeling really rude. Like you couldn't take the time out of your day to just like send me, to shoot me a reply. You just had to do a quick little double tap and heart moment. Not loving that. Well, I hope you guys are perfectly riled up for your week and you're feeling irritated. Kind of the total antithesis of the vibe that I was aiming for, but I feel like it's where we ended up, unfortunately. Anyways, have a fabulous Monday, have a fabulous week, and I will chat with you next week. Bye.